Flint, Michigan has passed a universal cash program for babies called RX Kids. The program gives all mothers $1,500 while they're pregnant and $500 per month for the first year of their child's life. Scott Santons is the founder and president of the Income to Support All Foundation. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
What's going on in Flint, Michigan? Is this totally unique and new compared to what we've seen before?
Yeah, what's going on in Flint, Michigan is RX Kids, and it's a universal program in the city. So every mom during her pregnancy is able to get a unconditional cash grant during her pregnancy of $1,500, followed by $500 per month.
Regardless of income.
Regardless of income, yes, for the baby's first year.
Anything close to that going on in other cities or states?
The closest would be the baby's first year's pilot, which is an ongoing experiment that's in four different cities where a randomized selection of mothers was selected to compare against a control group, where they're looking at the first few years of a baby's life, where some of them get that monthly income and some of them don't. And of course, I'd also say that, somewhat similar to what we saw for 6 months with the Enhanced Child Tax Credit, where that went to 9 out of 10 kids. So it did have an income test, but it was for the most part universal. But when it comes to the Flint, Michigan program, this is a fully universal all kids in their first year program.
Yeah, I remember years ago we were hearing about the importance of Head Start when it comes to giving kids an advantage when they're young, but this would go even beyond that. This would kind of set kids up for Head Start or some similar program, would you say?
I would say that it sets them off on the right foot, because again, this is just 1 year, but we also know that making sure that kids have greater access to food and basic need resources, especially during their first year, can be quite transformative. We've seen this too, like in Alaska, which I guess also is a great example too of this full universality. So this is in Alaska since 1982, every child and adult receives this universal dividend about $1,000 to $2,000 per year. And so there's some really interesting studies that have come out of this, especially when you look at baby studies where, depending on the distribution of the dividend and the birth of the child, they can either go essentially 1 year without that money, or they get it right at birth. And you can see the differences in like the paths of those children as they grow up, just based on that 1 year difference. And they're pretty impressive, like as far as reduced child obesity, and a $1,000 in a child's first year means 10% less of 10% less child abuse in regards to reports to Child Protective Services. So you see that there is this like really positive impact. I've seen multiple papers that try to cost out like the cost of child poverty and also the kind of return on investment of reducing it. And, the estimate is that child poverty costs us over $1 trillion per year, and that the ROI from actually reducing it, for every dollar spent, we can see an ROI of $10 by one report that I've seen recently. A more recent report said you could even see an ROI of $62 per $1, which is just looking at the child's first like 5 years. So we know like basically the younger you're able to get those resources to the kids, like the higher their return on investment as far as like less crime, less ending up in prison, and better educational outcomes. They go to school like longer, better grades. It's just, huge investment.
Would you like to see universal cash payments for everyone, for the whole population? I remember even in presidential campaigns, I think Nixon, when he ran against McGovern, I think both of them were talking about that in their own way. It's not a new idea.
Yeah. Nixon's family assistance plan, it wouldn't have been universal. It would have been phased out, but still that would have been to, every family. And also it's interesting with Nixon's plan, where it provided to each member of a family. So it wasn't just the child, it was also the mother and father as well. And Yeah, some interesting details there. Another, like in Canada, they've got their Canadian child benefit. And of course, other countries have fully universal child allowances. I think that that's something like the End Child Poverty Act of Rashida Tlaib's. It's also that would be a universal child allowance if that happened to be passed in the U.S. But I think in general, in universality makes all the sense. It's just by trying to target it, you just leave out too many people.
And it just makes it easier if you give it to everyone rather than making people jump through hoops.
Right, exactly.
Flint, Michigan in particular has had this problem with their water supply, and this universal cash payment, does that somehow affect that? Does that make things easier for people, even though they're drinking or having to deal with this horrible water situation?
I've read that the water situation has been resolved for years, and now it's more of a trust situation where, you know, the tests of the water show that this is already cleaner than, you know, most other cities in the country, thanks to all this like brand new infrastructure and everything. So I think it's more about potentially solving that trust issue. If every child and therefore every parent of a child feels that the local government actually like cares about them and the health of their child, then maybe they'd be more willing to trust. And I think that, you know, in general, I think we're looking at a crisis of trust across the country.
In the current political climate, do you see this kind of program being passed in cities and states across the country or in Congress, for that matter?
Well, it's interesting how the way they're doing this is they're getting some of the funding from TANF. Because TANF is a block grant that provides flexibility in how states use it. It hasn't really been used in this way before. So I think that each state could potentially utilize that mechanism if they thought that that's something that they would like to do. And then maybe if enough places did this, then it would make sense to even look at a national program, either, you know, the End Child Poverty Act as proposed by Rashida Tlaib and others, or even something like, you know, Mitt Romney also suggested his own child allowance program that would, I believe, have replaced TANF as part of its, you know, funding mechanism. So there's certainly potential there as a pathway to get towards a child allowance in the U.S.
And anything else you want to add to what you've said?
I just add that I wish that overall we would really look at this as an investment. And then I pointed out those various returns.
Rather than a handout.
Right, exactly. Like, this is something that the fact that we're not doing it is basically like, you know, burning piles of money. And we looked at like the debate in Congress that we had around the extension of the enhanced child tax credit. This was looking at $100 billion per year extra. By doing that program, we cut child poverty by about half. And then by letting it lapse, then child poverty more than doubled immediately. And yet we're spending over $1 trillion per year on child poverty. So like, how is it that $100 billion per year is too much? $1 trillion per year is like a good deal? I don't think that makes sense. And I hope that we start to see it as this investment that we should do just based on the returns instead of thinking about this as like an expensive cost.
That's Scott Santons of the Income to Support All Foundation speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on March 5th, 2024.